I've got two guests in the studio. Welcome, Kate and Esther Grace.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here to have an interesting little discussion because the radio station has had the chance to take advantage of some outside expertise, and you guys are the outside expertise, about how we run the station and what might happen if we get into a bigger organisation where it's just not me, I'm the main staff member with someone somewhere else doing social media. So, Kate, you're Kate McKinley. From what company are you from?
I'm from WSP in Hamilton.
And what is WSP?
We do a lot of consultancy, engineering.
Yeah.
Covering lots of different sectors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Esther Grace Reed, get the last name. What company are you from?
So I'm from Okta Associates. We just do straight project management. So we're just a project management firm that deals with multiple different facets in the industry, client side.
So that when we talk about project management, are we talking about construction projects, that sort of thing?
Construction projects, but also I have other colleagues that are doing some of the roading projects.
Okay.
And a few others where they might head into, and other departments have done things like electrical as well. So we have done different areas, or even Fonterra with some of the plants and engineering.
Okay. But it's basically it's building things, building somewhere. Is always that. I was wondering if there was something else that project managers did that wasn't building things.
Well, they do have IT project managers, but that's a completely different specialisation entirely.
Yeah, I don't know much about that at all. So you guys do, as project managers, as part of the Project Managers Institute, you do a day of service. So this is what this is about. So you do, it's a volunteer day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get paid by your companies?
No, WSP do offer as a volunteering day.
Yeah.
But I spent mine planting plants in Hamilton.
Okay.
Planting trees. So
right. So this is something you choose to do this?
Yes.
It's not something that you're told to. If you want to be part of the Institute, you have to do it? Or
no, you don't. You can volunteer, whereas my company's chosen that they're going to essentially sponsor us to do that day. So we don't lose a day's leave for this one. We can just do it as though we're doing our normal day and just put the time down.
Okay.
And work's essentially sponsoring us to take that time to volunteer.
Okay. Well, Kate, thank you for your day that you're not being paid for. So it's just, there's a group in the Waikato that's organising it.
Mm-hmm.
You just said, yeah, we want to do that this year. And then what happened after that? Did you get to choose to do it with the radio station, or were you just assigned? Did they say, oh, you've got the right subset of skills to work with these guys, or how does that work?
We had to sort of fill out a form, and then in the form we put down what our preferences and what our skill sets are.
Yeah.
And then they allocated us to the different groups.
Okay.
So I was quite excited to get this one. This is really interesting.
Yeah, people always seem to like to think it would be fun with a radio station. And you probably didn't know at the time that you were going to get interviewed.
No.
But that was I hadn't planned that either, but it just occurred to me when who was the guy who's running it?
Max.
He was like he suggested that the consultants should get to know the organisation a little bit, and I was like, oh, why don't you come for an interview and get like the whole tour of what it's like to be involved with the radio station. So that's what we're doing.
I think it's quite a cool idea that you're doing that, because that kind of broadens his perspective and also helps with us being able to go, okay, so this is actually what they do on a day-to-day basis, and formulate the ideas of going, well, how can we actually help moving forward and get that understanding of how you guys run and operate.
Yeah, and I'm doing this like every morning, so I get here at 8, and I'll play a lot of music, and I might do some announcements, the What's On guide and things like that, and then I'll have, depends really. Sometimes I have no interviews occasionally, sometimes I have three, and I mostly am interviewing people, you know, for an hour and a half from 8:30 through to 10. Usually I like a couple of interviews, and that's good, but that's the thing I like. Like one of the questions you asked me, what aspects of the role do you like, and this is the thing I like the most. So I'm really happy to come in on a day off and have a conversation with people. So, yeah, that's nice and easy. What do you think of the station now that you're in here?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a really cool space.
It's not a technical space, if for listeners who haven't seen it. It's not technical. But
I think having the posters around
kind of fun.
really brings a sense of community and what's happening locally. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
gives us a good idea of what it is you're achieving.
Now, don't be alarmed by what I'm doing here.
And it gives character. I think having, not just having walls, plain walls, it actually gives character being in this space. So I think it makes it also feel more comfortable coming into a space like this.
Yeah, because you guys have had to face being interviewed for maybe for the first time, is it? Yeah. Both of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know, Esther Grace, you were saying you're quite happy to sit and talk. It seems to flow easily for you.
Yeah.
Kate, you seemed a little bit nervous.
Yes, a bit more quiet.
A bit more quiet. But we have, I mean, yeah, as I said, I have so many people coming in who've never been on the radio before. So we just, and I think what you're saying about the environment, it certainly doesn't scream that you're going to be interrogated or anything like that at people. So, yeah, yeah. So we as well as talking about this, actually, do you remember what other organisations, did you see that list? I was just trying to think of what other organisations are getting help. I can't remember off the top of my head.
So there's things like, I know there's Dress for Success, there's an equestrian one, and I know those ones off the top of my head because a couple of my other colleagues are doing that, but I think there's also, yeah, there's quite a variety. I think it's from a couple of other ones as well that I can't think of, but definitely cross areas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was just to give a little bit of perspective, and I guess there were probably more organisations that applied than...
I'm not sure. We haven't been told that side of things.
Yeah.
But it's quite nice having the challenge of, from what our normal day-to-day project management is, to doing something completely different.
Yeah, so what projects are you guys working on at the moment, just to give us an idea about that?
So I do a lot of construction projects with schools.
Yep.
So I do what they call their five-year planning work. So basically... Oh, yeah. The modifications that are the larger projects, so classroom refurbishments, maybe roof projects, electrical projects, so a lot of those ones that are in the smaller ones.
Yeah.
I'm also helping with the National Weather Tightness Program for the Waikato region, so a couple of those projects.
Is that in the school system?
In the school system, yeah, so dealing with some of those lovely buildings. And then also I also have another one that's private client where I'm actually helping with some of the facilities management side, and I'm essentially seconded to them for a one day a week.
Okay, and Kate, what are you working on at the moment?
Most of my projects are with council, so we support doing the design and monitoring of construction.
Could you turn your mic a little bit to face you? There we go, that's better. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So working with councils, Hamilton City Council, WIPA. I think Waikato Regional Council.
Okay.
We're doing some of those, yeah.
They're okay to work with? I guess you're not going to say they're not on the air. But
no, they're really good, actually. It's very collaborative, and it's good to work. We try not to give our clients surprises, because nobody likes that kind of surprise. It usually involves a lot of money. So we have very clear, very clear communications with our clients, which makes it a lot easier. That's always the best way to go, and then you're sort of working for a solution together.
Okay. Yeah. And so the thing that we're going to be doing here with the radio station, I think I said this at the start, is that if we get to the point, if we have the funding, and we can get to the point where we have more staff, and it's not just me having staff meetings with myself and, you know, that sort of thing, we need a structure, and we have no idea what that would be, and I'd been thinking for a while that I would really need some help to kind of pull all that stuff out of my head and put it down somewhere. So obviously you guys have the skills for doing that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
Yes, well, you've started off for us, haven't you? You've given us a good list, but I imagine there's plenty more that you've got.
Well, I realised I just said I'd do a show, and I didn't talk about all the things that go into that. Like, I have to be up with the play with what's happening at council all the time, because I'm interviewing, like yesterday I interviewed our community board chairperson, and next Thursday I'm interviewing the mayor, actually. I do that not very often, but sometimes. And I'll be interviewing our councillor the next day, so I've got to be up with the play with all of that. And then I interview bands, and I interview artists, and just anything that's happening in town, I talk to people about that. So I've kind of got to be I try to be across everything that's happening in Raglan, which is really not realistic, but that's what I try to do.
I think because project management is something that once you understand how to do it in terms of processes, you can easily transfer a lot of those skills to different areas, so not just construction.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of the same processes or methodologies that you're using, you can translate and go, okay, well, if we just treat that like a project in terms of setting up an organisation, what are the steps? It's the same sort of steps or processes that you would go through for a construction project that you can start implementing to do something else. And a lot of it you can actually cross-relate into other areas.
Okay. What I was thinking of there while you were talking about that was because I used to work in the building industry. I even studied a similar thing to what you studied. Mm. And my comment off the air was that I didn't feel like I learned any of that sort of stuff while I was doing that. I was at an architecture school, different one to where you went. But did you feel like you learned enough of that at the university?
Yeah, we started to. So because I didn't do architecture, I did a Bachelor of Building Science.
And so you could focus.
The building science has a double major in project management and essentially what they call sustainable engineering, which is like healthy buildings. So okay. The project management side starts off giving you the basic steps of how to do that.
Yeah.
Of how to run a project, how to understand cash flows, how to start talking with people, talking with clients so that you can start having that. So it gives you that foundation. So then moving into a company, you at least already have a basic idea of how it's going to run and function.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I knew what was going on. We used to meet the graduates. I remember meeting with other graduates like at the pub on Friday night, and someone would say, "So did you do anything today where your degree was any use to you?" And we'd just all burst out laughing. Like that was the best joke that we'd heard, really. And yeah, which is a really bad sign, not good for the building industry back then. Hopefully that's changed for people going through the design side. I presume you were sharing, like, some of the people in your class were people who had a design focus and were going off to do architecture. Yeah. And finish
and I mean,
that right.
Wow. One of the coolest projects that I still remember that we did in our third year was they have it where it's a combined paper with all the other disciplines.
Mm.
So if you're the project manager, you are actually managing an architecture student, an interior architecture student, a landscape student, and then one who's doing the building science side of the sustainable engineering.
Wow.
And you have to manage that project to make sure everybody does their part and participates, and they actually create that collaboration as though it's a real project that you're working on as one of your papers.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, yeah. Real, I think real experiences are really important.
Mm.
When you're getting the theory, you also want something to apply it to make sense of it, I think. And Kate, you did engineering. We talked also off the air about, I remember engineering school in the 90s when I was at Auckland University had 10% of their students were women, and you said your experience where you were was probably even less.
Yeah, I think we had probably about 80, 90 students all in, and about four of us females in the group.
And that was that in the UK?
That was in the UK.
Is the UK a little different or?
I don't know. I haven't studied over here. So
yeah,
I wouldn't
you haven't
know.
Had that experience.
Yeah.
And the engineering students were fairly legendary for being very blokish. And,
yes.
And, yeah. And
that's
things.
Fair.
I was actually thinking about that this morning. Things used to happen. They would have the e-ball, the engineering ball, every year, but they got banned from pretty much every venue in central Auckland. So I think the last year I was there, they rang up and pretended they were the med school.
Just to try and get in.
And they did get in, but then that next Monday after their ball, the head of the engineering, the head of the medicine school, the med school, got a call from the venue to complain about the behaviour of their students. And they're like, oh, no. So that's, yeah, that's... there might be some engineers listening. Actually, they'll probably just reminisce thinking that was a great story. And you've had – the reason I bring this up is because you've just recently given a talk about women in engineering and kind of your experiences.
Yes, I was invited by Young Engineering Society, YES, and Women in Engineering Society to come and do a presentation Friday last week.
Yeah.
And that was really good. There was about four of us presenting. And we scared the younger generation of engineers. I'll go reassess their decisions.
Were there like female students?
Yeah, yeah, mostly female, but there was a lot of male there as well, which was absolutely fantastic to see that
yeah.
they're being supported.
Yeah.
And I think some of them were very surprised at how some of the things that females are coming up against, and this isn't things that have happened 20 years ago. This is things that have happened in the last sort of 5 years. Some of
oh, really?
Our experiences, yeah. So
yeah, see that
it's quite surprising. Yeah,
I think for a lot of guys, because not every guy is going to be a problem. And I think for those guys who aren't going to be a problem, they're quite surprised to hear the things that have gone on because they're not things they're doing. But I'm also I do feel surprised that things have kind of got worse in the last 5 years, because the story of my lifetime has been things have been gradually getting better.
Oh, I think they have. They've definitely been getting better. I mean, my experience is coming from oil and gas, which is quite male-dominated.
I bet.
So it's a little bit different. My colleague Jenny, she was saying she's had I think, three or four meetings in her career where it's been just females in the room, and it wasn't a planned meeting, it was a technical meeting, and they just realised, oh, look, we're all females in this room. This is fantastic. I've only had one in 20 years, so
right.
She's definitely got better statistics than I do.
So have you've had personal experiences that you've been like, this really isn't what I want to be
for
going
sure.
on right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Got through them, though.
Is there anything you can use to illustrate the point?
I think, interestingly, my ex-husband, he was also engineering.
Yeah.
And we did very similar things. And we were going, at one point, we both lived in New Plymouth, and we were going for interviews. And it was interesting that he wasn't being asked questions that I was being asked. So we had young children at the time. So the question was, when they get poorly, who's going to look after them? That was what I was asked.
Right.
There was nothing ever.
They didn't even ask him.
Wow.
No, not at all.
Because they should have asked him.
They were his kids too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, I mean, they should. That's a generational thing, I guess. Like the people asking the questions, it never occurred to them that the guy might actually go and help when the kids were unwell.
Yeah, it's very different.
Mm. What work needs to be done?
I think we need our supporters. I think like the LGB, I'm not sure of all the letters.
Yeah, we know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I think that group, it's the same. You've got your people that are actually experiencing it, and then you've got the people supporting it. And I think it's important to be a supporter. And even that can be just a silly joke in the office that's maybe a little bit inappropriate, just saying, you know what, that wasn't so funny, or that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can make, I think, especially when you've got the younger engineers coming in, male and female, they're less likely to speak out because they're in a new environment. They don't really know what they're up to. It's all change. So I think those of us supporting need to just make sure that we're making sure they're having a good experience as well.
Do either of you end up going out on site much?
Not so much.
Not so much. Because I remember that from when I was working for architecture firms, and I was in my mid-20s going out on site, theoretically telling 40-year-old guys how to do their job. Yeah. That's like a really awkward kind of a situation.
I still remember when I was in previous workplace and I had this instance where it was a bit awkward for that, and I actually had the architect jump in and back me up and be like, listen to her, she's a project manager. Because the contractor was just not treating me
right
great and was treating me like I was quite silly and was like, oh, well, you just must be like barely out of university, which I wasn't actually at the time. But, yeah, so I really appreciated having like the architect come in and just go, hey, look, this is how you should be treating. And so they actually jumped in and helped support and back me, which I really appreciated at the time.
But you do end up with quite a bit of responsibility quite early after being at university with jobs like that, though. Yeah, I remember.
I think you tend to be supported quite well. I know
with
WSP, we definitely don't throw people in the deep end.
Right. Well, see, I remember being out on site. Like
normally
you'd
start as an assistant.
Yeah.
So you'd start with your assistant to a project manager, so more in a junior role where you're actually more watching them or maybe doing smaller stuff, so then you're not actually running it fully yourself. So in theory, that shouldn't happen because you've actually got a senior that's monitoring you and you just check in with them for the projects.
Yeah, I remember being like 26, I think, and like being on site, and it could be a little bit difficult. But also I had the thing like, if they were really trying to push for something that they shouldn't have been pushing for, I'd just say, well, I'll just check with my boss when I get back to the office. And several times I'd do that and they'd be like, oh, no, don't worry about it, Like, yeah, so I should add too also that there were heaps of times on the building site where I had great relationships with people as well. For anyone out there think I'm complaining about the whole industry. Yeah, and in fact, it's a lot of fun when you have a good relationship with people.
It is, great.
You're getting a project done. Yeah, yeah.
It's that collaborative approach, isn't it? And feeling like you're all moving in the same direction.
Yeah, and it has to be that way. But there's I think there's a white collar, blue collar thing as well going on that's sort of feel that. So, yeah. Have you had to deal, I'll just sort of ask you that question really, no, not just on site, but just in your job in general, have you had to deal with any sexism, Esther Grace?
Yeah, I have. When I first started work, which was in Wellington, I was actually a coordinator, so I tried to go into project management straight away, didn't have that happen. And when I started to apply for the roles, they just looked at me and said, you'd be nothing better than an executive assistant.
So they just said that to you?
Yeah, they wouldn't let me interview or move into project management, even though at the time I was actually helping some of the new project managers with what they were doing for their roles and teaching them what they needed to do.
Was it because of your age or age and gender as well?
Age and gender, I think, and because I think I was good at my role in terms of doing the coordinator stuff that they didn't necessarily want to move it out. And I'm like, but I have a degree in this.
Yeah, and employers have a responsibility. Like, it was certainly very clear in architecture that the employers had a responsibility to the young employees to help their career evolve, help them develop skills. So, yeah, that's kind of irresponsible to do that.
Yeah, so I left, of course, and went and did something else.
Well, that's great that you had that option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's times in this industry where there aren't, you know, as soon as there's an economic downturn, the construction industry wants to contract. It's probably doing that at the moment, I imagine. But there's other times when it's booming and you can just, doors are open everywhere.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you shifted around much at all, you guys? Or did you like to stay in the same company?
I've been with WSP 3 years. So
does that feel like a long time?
The thing that I love the most is there is so much to learn in engineering. And because WSP's got so many, we're involved in so many different sectors, you can sort of jump across. So I've helped I'm in the water team, but I've helped other teams, property and building and geotech, with some of their projects. So there's plenty of learning, and that's what I really love. So I think when the learning stops, which I can't see it doing, that's probably when I'd need to move on. But
well, the industry continues to evolve.
It does.
Like, I've been out of it I did some other stuff after I left an architecture firm, but I've been out of it too long. I couldn't go back. I'd be useless. Like, the level of knowledge required, like the technical knowledge you need, is pretty deep. And also knowledge about the regulations and legislation.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is a use it or lose it.
You're, okay, yeah, definitely. Right, definitely. Okay, all right. Yeah. I won't try that.
And I think because companies are developing more and more technologies using computers or using technology,
right,
if you aren't keeping up to date with those updates, then you will fall behind.
You were talking, I'm not sure if this was off the air, but it's something called a Gantt.
Yes.
I've seen like adverts about on Monday.com on YouTube about them, and I'm like, what the heck is that? Like, I have no idea what that is.
It's the programming tool that you use to manage the project.
Okay.
So basically it will have where you've got your start being, let's say you're going to be starting on site on this date, but before that you'd have in there when your architect's meant to be starting, giving a loose idea of the dates from the architecture, how long you're needing for that, what you're going to need for building consent, all through to when construction's going to finish. And then you have the contractor who also does their program to be like, here's a breakdown of all of the works that are going to be progressing to ensure this, the building's going ahead.
So I would have seen, like, it's timeline, but
it's
but with a lot more, I guess, because it's a computer, it can attach to other things.
But they used to hand draw them. Mm. I've seen ones because the company that I work for, they were the ones that introduced programming to New Zealand like 50 years ago, and they would hand draw it. So they would go in and they would hand draw the timelines and the programming for each individual item to go, here's what it's tracking against for developing it for the timeline to run the project.
Well, I'm old enough to have drawn houses up, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
Whereas it's not on a computer, so.
Yeah, well, after a couple of years, I was starting to get onto computers. It's much more peaceful drawing with your hands, though.
Yeah.
If it's not too complex what you're drawing, it can be quite a meditative thing, whereas I never felt like that on a computer. So, yeah.
I would agree with you. I was crazy enough in my second year at university to hand draw my construction drawings.
Yeah.
Yep.
I used to quite enjoy sitting there doing my CAD on the computer. I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was quite happy in my little world.
I think when I started at the computer screens, there were these old like 800 by 600 CRT screens, so you couldn't really see much. Whereas, like, how many screens have you guys got? How big are your screens at your desks?
I've got the extra wide ones. I've got two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got two big ones, but I do know some of the other people in the office have one of those really massive, like a TV type size screen.
Oh, yeah. We can see our situation here in the studio. that's evolved slowly. I won't get into too many details. We'll talk about that off the air. folks, if you're wondering why there's an interview happening this weekend, I've got a special interview with Kate McKinley and Esther Grace Reed, who are helping the radio station out with some project management skills, basically. And instead of just giving them a tour of the radio station, I thought we'd do the whole thing and have an interview. How's it been? Is it all right?
Yep, I think it's all right.
So far.
So far. You're doing a great job.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, well, I promised it would just be a conversation, so... Yeah, that's kind of what it has been. I think we should probably wrap it up now. I think it's done the job, and I'll probably, because I'm not normally on the air now, I probably will keep this and play it one day in the coming week, next fortnight or something, when I've got a spare space where I can put it in, and then because it's quite a significant step for the radio station if we can, because we used to be all volunteer, like 12 years ago it was just all volunteers, so it was really significant to get a part time employee, which was me, and now. We want to do so many things. We're not just a radio station. We've got 5 media streams, and it's like, how do you evolve out of that? It was a big challenge to evolve out of being all volunteer, but this is a different level of complexity. So yeah, in fact, it was more simple going from all volunteers to one person running it. There's like a simplification, but this is added complexity. So, and I assume that's what in your careers that's what you're dealing with. It's like managing complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking it down,
yeah,
I think.
Right,
looking at the, breaking it down so it's dealing with little bits at a time, not having to feel overwhelmed over the larger picture.
Yeah.
It's taking that problem and that vision and being able to break it down and actually make it happen. That's what our job is to basically action.
Yeah.
What does the client want? How are they seeing this going? They're looking at this being the end product and then us helping formulate the steps to get there. And that's what you learn in construction for doing project management, but it is transferable.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. All right, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you
very much.